You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to the Daily Racing Podcast brought to you by William Hill. You join us on Monday's edition of the podcast where we're looking ahead to the racing at Redcar and also at Kelso. There's also racing elsewhere from Windsor and there's an evening card at Tremor on Monday. You can hear all of the action live from 1:50 p.m. on Racing Radio. Sam Norris here in the presenter's chair and joining me on today's podcast is John Budden. How are you, John?
I'm very well, Sam. I'm delighted with the winner of the Grand National. My wife backed it.
Right.
I'm hoping she may give me a bit of the winning.
Yes. Is that looking likely, John?
Well, I rang her up last night to congratulate her. And she ought to, of course, because she wanted a minimum £2 each way.
Right.
And I put on £5 each way. So I think I'm
you're entitled.
Entitled to a bit, but yeah. I'm not sure.
We'll have to wait and see. Yes, of course, One for Arthur was the winner of the Grand National 2017. And just the second win for Scotland, John, in the race's 170-odd year history. Only two times has it gone to a Scottish trainer. Seems quite incredible.
Yes, it is quite incredible, really. I, in fact, backed the one in 1979.
Right. Rubstick.
I was working for a television company and was actually camerized or televised as I was putting the bet on at 33-1. Rubstick and Maurice Barnes and John Ledbetter. Historic win. But yesterday's was a really good performance.
Yeah, he was one of the very few horses as well, John, that didn't race prominently. Quite a few of the rest of them were always to the fore, but he was given a patient ride by Derek Fox and boy, did he quicken in the closing stages over that marathon trip.
Well, I thought it was absolutely astonishing. He wasn't mentioned for virtually the whole of the race until the last stages. A little bit like Hello Dandy back in 1984, again, who I had backed, who wasn't mentioned at all until the 23rd fence, but then went on to win. Yeah, it was a really good performance. Lucinda and Peter Scudamore, you know, they had been really bullish about this horse. As I had mentioned here at William Hill for a number of weeks, and it was unusual because Lucinda's not reticent, but she's very careful about sort of jotting up her horses. And they were very keen and excited about taking one for Arthur to the Grand National, which, you know, I thought was very interesting. I was also very pleased with their loyalty to Derek Fox, which was rewarded. I think many trainers would have said to Derek, now, look, you've only just recovered. I know you've been past fit, but I don't honestly think a ride on a fancied horse in the Grand National's quite up for it. But they remained loyal, and Derek did a tremendous job. One other sort of thing on that, you mentioned that he came from a long way off the pace. There was quite an interesting sort of little tit-for-tat between Sir Anthony McCoy and Mick Fitzgerald in the run-up to the race. And Tony McCoy had said something like, well, the Grand National's changed a great deal. It's for class horses now. And Mick said, well, yes, but not necessarily star 3-mile tracers. Mm. It is a stayer's race. You need a good horse, well handicapped, but he must stay. And that was, of course, what One for Arthur really did. He stayed up the hill tremendously well. I was just a little worried myself beforehand about the ground. I thought they might go a bit too quick for him. Well, I think they did go a bit too quick for him. But the fact that he stayed on really well, he'd been fifth in the Beecher Chase, you know, behind Highland Lodge, and that was a staying on performance. So it was a really thoroughly delightful ending to what was a tremendous national.
Yes, absolutely. And stamina claims for some of those place horses as well, John. Evident to see, we had Cause of Causes, who we knew would get the trip. Saint R, who's been second in the race before, so he was a guaranteed stayer. And then Black Lion back and forth just didn't stay. When he hit the front three out, you thought, well, this is going to be a simple victory.
Absolutely right, Sam. You know, I thought Black Lion was the horse who was likely to win beforehand, but he just didn't stay the trip. And that's why Mick Fitzgerald's remark about it being for good stayers, good class horses, but they got to stay, was absolutely spot on. Black Lion looked a certain winner approaching the second last, but he just couldn't quite last it out.
He emptied out. We'll change tack slightly then and talk about staying hurdlers, because in the big staying hurdle race of the day then, John, Yanworth was the winner of that, was sent off the favourite and came home like a favourite. He looks a new horse at this trip of 3 miles. Do you think that's been the key to him?
I think it probably has, yes. I mean, I was with Yanworth at Cheltenham, but they went too quick for him. Mm. And I think probably the staying trip is right. It'll be very interesting to see what they do next season. But he stayed on very strongly for Barry Geraghty. And, yes, he's a class horse, because he was a very good horse on the flat.
Yes.
So I wasn't surprised. Well, I was just a little bit surprised at how short he was in what I thought was a pretty competitive race.
Yeah, definitely. That's a trip that before yesterday was an unknown. It's clear that he loves 3 miles and probably thrives on it more than 2 miles. We couldn't discuss the Aintree Festival, John, without giving a mention to Robbie Power, Colin Tizard and the Anne and Alan Potts partnership, who had a tremendous week. I mean, some of their horses improved beyond all recognition. The likes of Pingshoe looked a completely different animal, and those connections ran away with the week, really.
Yeah, they did, didn't they? And it was great to see Colin Tizard there, because he's a lovely man and, you know, quite a senior trainer, and he was absolutely delighted, bubbling over with enthusiasm as each winner went in. And he very nearly won the bowl with Q Card.
Yes,
and
he did.
And was really coming hard. If you want to sort of think of outstanding sort of factors of the Aintree Festival, Lizzie Kelly's win,
yes,
to me, was quite something. Of course, I'm getting old, you know, a bit old, but I mean, these young women, and she's such a charismatic and, you know, delightful, good-looking young lady, and I thought she gave Tifa to a tremendous race, really, and I was pleased that Lizzie had her moment of glory after the fall at the second in the Cheltenham Gold Cup. But Q Card very, very nearly got back up again.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm sure he'll be running again in top level next year. Sam, you know, just as far as I'm concerned, the two horses that interested me, one, Might Bite. Mm. Oh, I'm delighted with Might Bite. You know, people have written down that horse over the past sort of 3 months. He drifted like a sort of bomb at Cheltenham, but nevertheless he won. But there again, of course, the enemies were able to say, well, look at it, he only just won. Crazy animal, nearly jumped over the rails after the last, and so on. And just managed to get up to beat Whisper. Well, at Aintree, it was a different story.
He was on his best behaviour, wasn't he?
No ducking out. You see, no exit on the home straight. He jumped really well. And bearing in mind that Davey Russell had Whisper poised, ready to strike from the home turn, I thought he stayed on really well. And I think he'll be a power in a race like the King George next year. And the one that got away from me was Double
W's. Yep.
How I didn't nap that, I do not know, because that's owned by two really cheerful farmers from Cumbria, Messrs. Walton and Wilson, and they went absolutely berserk when the horse won. And he's a very decent horse, but it was a great 3 days.
Yes, absolutely. Are you looking forward to the turf season now, John? Is that your attention turning towards the turf, or you go after Punchestown?
Not seriously yet. There's Ayr coming up,
Sam,
and I think the Scottish National will be, you know, a really interesting race. And of course, my favourite trainer, Nicky Richards, always reserves good horses for the 3 day Scottish National Festival.
Yeah, on a Scottish theme then, we'll move on to Monday's racing and begin in the Borders with races at Kelso. The first 3 races on the card at Kelso will do, and then we'll touch on Redcar's 420 as well. But we begin with the 210 race at Kelso, which is a handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 6 furlongs. At the time of recording, we've got a field of 12 down to contest this. Decent fields throughout the day, really, at Kelso on Monday. John, what did you make of the opener?
Yeah, it will be a great day of celebration that Kelso ended. My goodness me.
I believe One for Arthur is going to parade before racing as well.
Yeah, I think he is, yes. And Lucinda appears to have taken out her runners, wishing her a quiet, reflective, enjoyable day at Kelso. I feel the layers may not be too happy, actually, because I should think they took quite a whamming with One for Arthur scoring. However, the 210 at Kelso, I like 40 Crown in this particular contest. He is trained by George Bewley. Now, for a long time, George, who's actually a Cumbrian by birth, Sam, has trained at Hoyk, but he moved earlier this year from Hoyk to Cumbria, back again home. He trains near Appleby, not far from Kenslack, and also the Butterworths, and he had his first winner since moving back to Cumbria at Carlisle on Wednesday. Ali Cool won rather well for him and Jonathan Bewley. And I think 40 Crown has got the form to win this race. It was a perfectly good third at Haydock last time out, interestingly enough, to one of Lucinda Russell's horses, Sammy B. And Lan Decker is connected with 40 Crown because prior to that, 40 Crown was actually a winner at Kelso, and Lan Decker was behind. I think the Alexanders have got their horses in pretty good shape, but I'm not particularly good at getting them, Sam. I don't know about you. I tend to think, this will be a Lucy or a Kit Alexander winner, and bump,
yes,
down they go. However, Lan Decker is a Kelso horse, has to go quite well. And the other one, very much a question mark, Stephen Fox rides now instead of Rachel McDonald. That is Buckled. Now, Buckled came back to winning form at Musselburgh in a really quite decent way. And he was a good horse a couple of seasons ago. Then, like us all, sometime lost the plot.
Yeah.
But he's back again. I think he'll work pretty well, but I'm going to go for 40 Crown.
OK, 40 Crown then gets the nod in the opening race at Kelso. We go half an hour later then to Kelso's 240, which is a handicap chase over 2 miles and 5 furlongs. Field of 12 again going to post for this one. Who caught the eye, John?
Well, Kenny Johnson caught the eye. He is, of a long time, the most senior National Hunt jockey, Kenny Johnson. He was, of course, a former amateur champion at the time that Mr. Thornton was riding, too, and still is. I mean, he's only just off at the moment with a knee problem, but he hopes to come back again. However, Kenny Johnson, Arthur Stevenson, very much together. And that was right back in the 1990s, early 1990s, if not before. He now taken over the training ranks from his father, and he had two entries in this race, the very consistent Ross Kiro, and also Under the Red, who has been second in both his last two outings. He has chosen to go with Ross Kiro, and I think Ross Kiro's got a very sound form. If you look at the past performances, he's been in the frame almost all the time. He likes good ground, Ross Kiro. I think it'll be absolutely perfect for him at Kelso tomorrow. Blair Campbell in the saddle. So I think Ross Kiro, the choice of the two Kenny Johnson horses, is my choice. You have to say Whit Sundays has run pretty well. Good winner at Sedgefield last time out for Donald McCain. And double this and double that from the inform Coulthard stable won't be far away. But I'm going to go with Kenny Johnson and Ross Kiro.
Ross Kiro then gets the nod in the 240 at Kelso. The final race from Kelso that we'll cover on the podcast then is the 310, which is another handicap chase. 3 miles and 2 furlongs to trip this time. So we've got the staying chasers in action here, John. What did you make of this one?
Well, this is a fascinating contest with lots of my favourite horses in it. Sam Carrick Doon, right at the top, is one of those and has run well at Kelso before. But I think he will prefer softer ground, and perhaps the weight is a little bit too much for him. But Morris Barnes had a winner at Sedgefield only a couple of days ago. Louisville won, beating Tours, who I think went off at 4-1 on favourites. So
right.
The stable are in form. Bally Ben, another perfectly sound performer at his own level. He's got to have a squeak. And then we have Spanish Fleet, for owned by John Wade. A little bit of a disappointing horse, but he's certainly got the ability to go fairly close. Harry the Viking, and there's another one owned by Jimmy Beaumont, a very lucky owner. And Scotswell, who goes well at Kelso. But the choice has got to be the fresher horse, Double Whammy. This is Ian Jardine, and I liked Double Whammy in the spring last year, and I thought Double Whammy ran a pretty decent warm-up race for this when six behind Yala Enki at Kelso last time out. Good form, Double Whammy the choice.
Double Whammy in that one then for John, the 3.10. We go to Redcar then for some action on the flat, and we go to their 4.20, which is a mile handicap, full field of 18 runners going to post here. Might take a bit of sorting, this one, John.
Yeah, absolute minefield, doesn't it, Sam? Yes. But however, we have to go forward. I've noticed that the Alistair Willans has entered Alexander Kollontai in this race, and normally that horse doesn't run until sort of halfway through the summer, but could be going for an early go. Secret Glance catches my eye. This is a Mick Easterby runner, Nathan Evans in the saddle, ran at Southall last time out and finished behind Dark Forest, Ross Bradley's great animal, who won again at Southall last Thursday, I think it was. So that one has got a chance for Mick Easterby. Right at the bottom, Ian Jardine's Newmarket Warrior, not considered to be the best horse in the stable, and something of a worry last year because he was well fancied on several occasions and didn't score, but won on the Tapita at Newcastle last time out. Very well weighted. But I'm going to go for Shamahart. Shamahart is a Redcar horse. Jeff Harker trains Shamahart, and he had a winner on the flat just recently, Jeff Harker. And Shamahart has been running well at Newcastle on the Tapita surface, and I think he's got a very fair chance of coming back on the turf here at Redcar, and with the ground relatively good, can win again. David Allen gets on very well with Shamahart, and he is in the saddle tomorrow.
Okay, Shamahart getting the nod then in the Redcar 4.20. Thank you for that, John. Just give us a quick recap then, if you would, of your four selections for Monday's racing.
Well, we start off with the 2.10 at Kelso. It's going to be a good day at Kelso tomorrow. 40 Crown is the choice of the 2.10. In the 2.40 at Kelso, Ross Kiero. In the 3.10 at Kelso, Double Whammy. And Shamahart is the choice at Redcar in the 4.20.
Excellent stuff then. John Burden's thoughts on the action on Monday. You can hear it all live on Racing Radio from 1.50pm with Windsor Redcar and Kelso in the afternoon. Then a Twilight card from Tremor as well. We'll be taking the back end of the action in Ireland. Thank you for that, John, and enjoy the action.
Thank you very much, Sam. I certainly will.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.